What up, LoveQuest Nation? You are listening to our latest episode of our 9 a.m. Sunday experience, recorded live at our location in Vancouver, BC. So come on in and enjoy a powerful right now word brought to you by our founding and lead pastor, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy.
Look at your neighbor. Say, you okay? Say, you okay? Look at your neighbor. Say, you okay? Today is going to be a very profound day if you choose to have ears to hear. I'm going to have to make this one kind of quick. But this morning, I'm going to talk about the power to stand. The power to stand. The power to stand. The power to stand. Say that with me. The power to stand. One more time. Say the power to stand. I want you to just do me a favor and say his name. Right. There's this thing going around Elder John where we're reminding people to say her name. Say Breonna Taylor. Say Floyd. Say their name. Don't let their name die. And what I challenge you in the world to say is don't let the name of Jesus die. Say his name every time you get a chance, every single day. Because what we forget is the same way we are reminding others to say their name because they were mistreated. Don't forget, Jesus was mistreated for you. Don't forget, he was persecuted. He was nailed to a cross. Don't forget, they spit on him unjustly. You talking brutality. Don't forget, he was nailed to a cross, treated like a dog, like we are seeing people today. So while we're saying other people's names, guess what other name you want to make sure you say? Jesus. Please say these names. Keep them alive. Let's fight for justice. I hope everybody hear me. Please believe. Fight for justice. Use your social media platform to represent the light of the world. Not your opinion. There's enough opinions out there. Say Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Ephesians 6 says, in conclusion, can we do something with that screen? It's not working for me. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord, be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him. What's that first two words up there? That's yellow. Talk to me. Say it a little louder. One more again. Say be strong. Look at your neighbor. Say be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. Be strong in who? Be strong in the Lord. Put on God's what? Whole armor. Put on God's what? Whole armor. The whole armor. The armor of a heavy armed soldier. What is you called? A heavy armed soldier. I don't know if you knew that, but when you received Jesus, you signed up for the army. So I don't know what people be thinking they signed up for when they say yes to the Lord. You signed up for an army. Now, what would you think of a soldier if CNN showed you a soldier that was sitting on the battlefield letting his friends get killed? What would you think of that soldier? My question are you, which soldier are you? The one fighting for your brother and sister, the one that is praying, the one that is faithful to keep them encouraged, or are you the one that's picking and choosing when you're going to go forward? The Bible tells us to stay sober-minded. He playing these keys, huh? We're going to put a bucket in front of the keyboard. Da-da-da-da-da-da. right, Luther over there, amen. Ray Charles over there, amen. We're just going to let you preach on that piano then. Turn him down a little bit, please. Turn him down. That you may be able to successfully stand. Yeah, and we make that the main screen, so blow that up or whatever you got to do, because that's how Caleb can see as well. That you may be able to, what? Successfully, you are successfully to stand up. You blowing your lid is not successfully standing. You having a mental breakdown in the midst of these moments is not you successfully standing. You being depressed is not you successfully standing. You don't put on the armor after you depress. You put on the armor so you don't get depressed. It says, so that you may successfully be able to stand up against, what's that word in red? Against what? All right, by the time I get over here, then it'll get away. Thank you. Against what? All. There's not one battle that you are going through or will ever go through that you are not meant to come out on the other side victorious. All the strategies and the deceits. I believe as much facts as we see in the media right now, I also believe that it's a strategy. I seen something the other day that said black murder is marketing. We're not going to get into it. We're not going to get into it. But understand the enemy has strategy. In all darkness, just like light has strategy, God has strategy. The Bible is telling you that there is strategies in the midst, in darkness. The Bible is telling you there's no, understand, even you might find an independent evil person, but the spirit behind it is unified to somebody. The enemy that's causing me, the spirit that's causing me to go out there and be destructive on my own and not be a part of order, not be a part of or under, I might be having an independent spirit, but the independent spirit behind me is working for an army. So you're independent, you're doing your own thing, but the spirit that's causing it is running a play for a team. It's kind of like a wide receiver or something. If you ever watch sports, even basketball, there's this thing called play action. Or on the other side of the play, there is all kinds of action happening. And you're focused over here. But what's happening over here is to distract you while the other person over here that's really meant to score is getting in position. So that's why a wide receiver that's not going to get the ball thrown to him, if he pouts and don't run his route, he is selfish, because we need you to run your route as hard as if you was about to get the ball. We need you to run it so you can draw them over to you so we can have him on one-on-one coverage. And we could throw the ball over there. Or we're going to run a play over here that draws the whole team over here, turn around, boom, throw an alley-oop to LeBron James who could jump over the person guarding him. And that's what the enemy's looking for, is people he can isolate, people he can distract. Because while all of this distraction is going on, best believe there's a play being ran. And what you focusing on is only a disguise. And you're trying to block the disguise. You're trying to make it through the disguise. And the Lord needs you to focus on what he told you before. That's why the Lord gave this house. The theme for 2020 was eyes to see. Didn't have nothing to do with harvest. Didn't have nothing to do with harvest in the sense of I'm getting some stuff. It was all about eyes to see. And that one theme has held LoveQuest focused. He says, all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. And that's what I want to encourage you. Yes, it's darkness going on, but it's not as bad as you're thinking it. See, there's nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new about this racism and injustice. Nothing new. But what is new is our access to it and the coverage of it. Well, my grandma, my great-grandmama, great-grandpapa, them, the stuff that has been going on for centuries, now we have instant access to it, and we have the device in our hand, and we can look at it over and over. Here you go. Here's the plot of the enemy. Not only are you hearing it from your cousin, every single time you scroll, there's Chadwick, dead. Constant reminder that he's gone. Kobe, gone. Opposed to even having to be able to afford cable to see the news. Everywhere you go, evil is magnified. Everyone is talking about it. Before, not everyone was talking about it because everyone didn't know. How long it took for you to find out something happened? And now how quick it gets in your hand to do what? Share it. Post it. Strategy. Oh, I'm gonna get to it today. Because today is gonna all help you see. No, I'm not in a conspiracy, no, strategy. I know we got conspiracy theorists. You know, be a strategy theorist and understand that the devil is up to work. Take your eyes off of man and understand that our weapon. Let me just keep reading. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. You see, here's the play being ran. Flesh and blood is running a play over here. You see this, Steve? Flesh and blood is over here running a decoy, while spirit is over here really setting something up. Contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirit. The what? The what? The master spirits. Boom. Hey man, they on that dial-up internet today. Against the master spirits, who are the world rulers. Oof. They're doing their job. And we're so caught up on flesh and spirit, we can't even pray for the slave driver. We can't even pray for the cop. Strategies. But our war is against master spirits, the world rulers of this present darkness. Present darkness. Against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. It would be easier if we could just get that person out the office and get that person, get somebody else in there in charge, get a new president, get a new prime minister. You're looking at the person. But guess what? It's not the person. It's the person in the seat. The seat has the power. I'm trying to help you today. So it don't matter who comes in the office, they still got to sit in the seat. Let the new person come and start helping and bringing life together. So we persecute Obama. We persecute anybody. See, this is the one thing, and I'm not standing with an Obama because he's colored. But one thing you can guarantee, when the world was going through something, when the United States was going through something, he knew how to make you feel like it was going to be okay. He didn't divide. He brought together. You may not agree with policies. You may not agree with how he handled taxes, but one thing you can guarantee is he fathered the country. What's more like God, a father or a rule maker? Because he didn't change your policies, Let's get somebody that's going to change my policies. Let's get somebody that's going to stand up for pro-life, but be racist and be a person of division and tear people down and degrade women. That's religion. But then the person that we disagree with some of his policies, this is the person that will go visit the family, that will call the family immediately, that will stand immediately when tragedy hits, go on the scene of the flood, go and say, you know what, America, or the world, it's going to be okay. It's not political. We need people that actually love. Can't be led by insecure leaders. It's not political at all. I'm not taking a political stance by what I'm saying. I'm taking a godly stance by what I'm saying. And they shall know you by your love. The kindness of God is what changes. If you give me 4 years to do something, if you give me 4 years or 8 years to try to change something around that I can't necessarily change and turn around in my own time, when I'm given a mess, you want me to turn the mess around. One thing I can do over 8 years is bring hope into a community. And I think more than anything, it doesn't matter the policies that change. We're dealing with a broken world, let alone a broken system. And that's why I find Jesus saying, forget all these laws over here. We're going to sum up all the laws in one. Love God. Love your neighbor. Love yourself. What we have in leadership in our world is people that don't love themselves. And if you trail it back, they're not in love with God. Therefore, we have leaders that are running the world the best they can without God. But the people who do love God, you have more power to change the world than someone who has been given a house to sit in for a few years. You dwell in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord dwells in you. There's no better. You have access to the throne seat of grace. There is something upon your life that you've been anointed to do and to be. Let your light shine. I don't see God saying that any seat in politics is the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth, not the seat, not the office, not the title. You are the salt of the earth. Again, we need all these people in position to run the world. And then God will use these positions, but God don't need the position. He need you in position. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to what? Resist. And what? Stand your ground on the evil day of danger. You can stand in times like this when you focus on keeping the armor on. The enemy is trying to undress you. Don't let them take your shield of faith off. Don't let them take your shoes of peace. Don't let them take it off. Don't let them take off your helmet of salvation. You don't ever get undressed. You don't ever let nobody undress you. It costs too much to get those clothes. Don't let nobody just come in your life and take off your clothes, take off your righteousness, take off your faith, take off of your salvation, take off your peace. This is mine, and somebody paid a heavy price for my armor. these expensive clothes. You ain't gonna let nobody come up to you and take your red bottoms off your feet, take your Jordans off your feet, take your Gucci and Prada off your back. You ain't gonna let nobody snatch you out of your Lamborghini when you done worked hard and paid all that money for it. You gone crazy. And if somebody stole it, you gonna file a what? Report. Well, I'm here to file a report. The enemy has stolen long enough. Take back what's yours. The kingdom suffereth violent, but the violent take it by force. What's being stolen right now is our peace. The government can't give us peace. President can't give us peace. So while we're waiting for things to change, we do have control over the clothes we allow to stay on. Put on the armor. The whole armor of God, which means God has intended to fully dress you. He didn't call you to have one shoe on. And everybody's armor is custom sized. The armor is made for your war. For your family, your friends, your co-workers, your city, your country. The armor is custom made just for you. Don't let nobody try to, you know, you get people in your life that see you with your armor on, and because they only got one shoe on, they trying to take one of your shoes off. Because they walking around with a jacket too small. Oh, that's Bible. You remember Saul tried to give David his armor? David said, I can't wear this, bro. This is too much. And because people out here wearing the wrong identity and wearing the wrong purpose and wearing the wrong armor, they're mad at you because you didn't found your custom fitting armor. Don't you dare take it off. You are where you're supposed to be. You are the person you're supposed to be. And you're walking in the purpose you're supposed to walk in. He said, and having done all the crisis demands. I was talking to leadership this morning. I believe we've seen people call the city together for protests. We've called people together for marches. We've called people together for this and that. But I haven't seen, see, the challenge is we have a lot of organizers, but not many leaders. Strategy for this kind of war comes from apostles, apostolic houses. Pastors aren't meant to lead through this kind of war. If you don't got no prophets in your army, you better pause and pull over. Saying a point. Yes, protest. But I haven't seen anyone rise up and unite the city to come together and pray. There is no strategy for the city without the city coming together and praying. But I do look back in time, and God calls on specific type of people. God strategically plants before the strategy can be received and released. There's a strategist that has to be raised up. We have done well in how to have church growth strategy. But we're in a time where, man, the Lord said, all that don't matter because everybody can have 50 people. That's it. We need to pause real quick like the NBA did. Pause as a church and get some focus. What are we fighting for? What are we about to go after? Forget the lights. Forget all. Please do what you got to do, but we have to pause for a few days. And let's get some bullet points of what we're going after and have target practice. God is calling us to simplify our list. What do you see right now? What do you see in this season? What do you see? What are you choosing to see? Because you know you can have selective sight. You can see what you want to see. You've heard of selective hearing. Well, that's connected to selective sight. What are you choosing to see in this season? What are you choosing to say? Because I've come to understand by faith, you can call those things that be not as though they were. So it doesn't matter what I see. If it's not what God says, I don't have to say it. So what I'm saying could be different than what I'm seeing. But if I am going to be a person of faith, I have to guard what I'm choosing to see. And I have to be very selective in what I choose to say. Here you go. This one's going to be a hard one for all of us. I believe the Lord is saying, in this season, even choose what you say. You talk too much. I'm not talking volume of words. You say too many ineffective, fruitless things. You have a lot of vain conversation. I need some disciplined soldiers that understand the power of their tongue, and I need intercession like never before. But I need intercession from mouths that aren't double-mouthed. I need singular tongues in this season. The atmosphere can't take any more contradiction from the bride. You know, if you're married and your spouse start saying stuff that's contradictory. Well, I was at home. You know, when you get investigated, they call it an alibi. You watch First 48 or something, you're like, all right, we're gonna go check your alibi. And then they come back, sir, you said you were at McDonald's at 6:35 last night with your girlfriend. Well, we just called your girlfriend, and she was out of town. You're saying something and believing another thing. You're saying 6:35, but you're out of town. Your alibi needs to be accurate in this season. If you say you're a son of God, talk like it. If you say you live in the presence of God, live like it. If you say you believe in God, then be patient and wait on God. What are you choosing to see and say? Whatever you are choosing to see and whatever you are choosing to say is where you are choosing to stand and to sit. Understand what comes out of your mouth is building the foundation you got to stand on and the bed you got to sit in. Whatever is coming out of your mouth, you also have to eat the fruit of it. Whatever is coming out of your mouth, you are the carpenter of the platform you are going to stand on and the house you are choosing to live in. Moving right along. The foundations of the world are being shaken and exposed. The foundations of the world are being shaken and exposed. Come on, man. I love it how the athletes all came together. What did the athletes do? They responded to a call. Look, as long as they were waiting, Dawid, for the NBA commissioner to make a change, they'd be waiting. As long as they waiting for the owner to make a change, they'd be waiting. You do know that that's a government in the NBA. When you talk about the owners, they call them, what is the name they call them? Is it the generals? No, it's not the generals. No. It's something that they call every owner. It's a governmental name. But the players said, we don't want no coaches in the locker room, and we're not talking to no owners right now. We as players got to come together on how we're going to approach the owners. And then we're going to sit at the table with the owners and tell them what we need to see if we're going to keep on working for them. What did they do? They took a stand. But guess what? Change didn't come until they united. And I'm talking about change. Not everything changed, but they got change in 48 hours. And guess what the beautiful thing was? It started with one team. And then it started with one sport. And then it trickled down to all main sports. And God is waiting for one man, one woman, one church to stand out front, and guess what's going to happen? Then other churches and other leaders will follow. God is looking for bold people, courageous people, but there's also those that are waiting for somebody. Not everyone's called to be out front, but they're waiting to be led. The tennis player, the girl said, I'm generally a follower. But I just kind of said, I didn't know that the tennis organization was going to follow and support, but something just told me I'm not going to play. I generally don't lead. I'm generally shy. I'm not an out front person. No, I normally don't talk. I'm fine with the background. And guess what the Lord is doing in this season? The Lord is calling. What you don't understand is being out front doesn't necessarily mean you're leading the charge. It simply means for the front line to be stronger, it needs you in it. It doesn't mean you're leading the front line, but the front line needs what you have to be an official front line. Foundations of the world are being shaken and exposed. When we look at this next picture, it's amazing how it surrounds the globe. This is how our world is being ran. This is how, let me tell you, people of power is running us. Don't say nothing. Leave your phone at home. Don't say nothing. Just observe your nervous system. How disconnected from the world do you feel when you don't have your phone? How much FOMO? And it's not the phone's fault or the world's fault. It's what the strategy has done within our system. And then we'll blame it on my family. I gotta have phone. My family, my wife need to. She gonna need to call me. Man, I didn't have no phone. My mama for sure had a way to make sure I was home before the sun went down. You see that light? Folks sure did ship custom items from one country to another without knowing. But this church was a place that when people brought cargo in on the water down the road, they knew they were in Vancouver because this is sitting at the highest point of this area. And so they saw the double steeple. It's like we're in Vancouver. You're the light of this world. A lamp cannot be set under. You're up on a hill. Guess what? People should be able to see you and say, oh, it's going to be okay. Just like the flight attendant. You could be in all the turbulence you want to, but if she's sitting there or he's sitting there just like, how you doing? If they serving them peanuts during turbulence, you know we good. Why? Because she didn't get a notice from the captain. People looking at you to see what kind of notice you're getting from the captain. If you know it's going to be okay, guess how you should act? It's going to be okay. If the Lord says we going across, guess what? You got to act like we going across. But I want to see something. Oh, I'm glad we got three services. There's this thing called media. I want to look at it real quick. Media. It's plural form. Latin word. Medium. You go read your Bible about what God thinks about mediums. It's a middle ground. It's something meant to feed you information from somewhere. Media is feeding us information from somewhere. That's why how you use your medium is very... In this season, today, on your medium, it's time to unfollow people. Mute them. How many people see something or someone and you scroll past their page? Folks are using this medium to get under your skin, to make you jealous, to make you upset, to make you second guess yourself. You notice how this thing talk to you when you see somebody and you be like, comparing. This device, this medium is being used for, so it's a strategy. It's a part of a system. And there, you ain't just getting 5G for no reason. Get that new 5G. Okay. You don't need no clearer picture than that. You don't need four cameras on your phone. You're not even a photographer. You wouldn't even know how to use it. But it's something that makes you feel like you're a part of the elite. Medium. Mediumship is the practice. I'm going to say this word slow. Purportedly mediating communication between spirits of the dead and living human beings. Darkness, we know, represents dead. Choose ye this day, life or death. The enemy's already defeated. Therefore, he sends signals of defeated language. Practitioners are known as mediums or spirit mediums. Mediating communication. The news, our phones, are mediating communication from high places. We think it's just a phone. But everything that comes across your screen is intentional. And everything that comes across your screen, follow me, is communicating something from somewhere. We for sure will scroll past a scripture quicker than some mess. We for sure will scroll past Jesus on the cross quicker than a woman on the beach. There, let me tell you, as we scroll, training is happening. I'm talking to myself too. You can sit there with your phone in your hand, just finish looking at it, put it down. No alert, no notification, but your brain says, it might be something on there. Go check again. And no matter what you're doing throughout the day, you are always drawn back to this medium. Why? because this is a device that was given to humanity to keep us connected to the world. God does not need this to speak to you, but if you give your attention all to it, he will use it to talk to you. But God doesn't need your cell phone to communicate purpose, but the enemy does. Media is vital to identity. There is a spirit connected to these devices. Medium. There are different types of mediumship, you ready for this? Or spirit channeling. You know, I don't know about you, but I can't just take the basic cable. I got channels on my TV, I ain't never went by. I stay right in between. I know where sports is, I know where this is, and I got 300 other channels I'm paying for. But on every last one of those channels, something's being channeled. Channeling. Frequencies. And what we have to understand is channels are merely portals. You know what channel not to watch? We're going to block that adult channel from them kids. Why? Because there's a medium at work. You think mediums only work on the adult channel? But here's a question. How are you channeling in the challenging? These are challenging times. But whatever you are channeling will determine how you handle the challenging. That's why you got to be careful with who you're around, because they're being used to channel certain energy, certain behavior. And if you are not, you're like the pigs. The pig said, hey, do not just cast us out. Put us somewhere. The enemy will get in the vulnerable and the ignorant to get to you. That's why the Bible says guard your channel. This is your main channel. This is your satellite. Your heart. And if the enemy can get in your heart, he can control the rest of your channels. Whatever has your satellite, whatever you're allowing in this thing will determine your response in these times. We have another thing called news anchors. News anchors are forms of media because they're delivering on a specific channel. They keep you anchored to the channel. They keep you anchored to the news. There are certain sports anchors I love. Stuart Scott, he passed away. And there's some you love, and then there's some news anchors you absolutely can't stand. Their whole affect, how they communicate, and then there's some. I love Anderson Cooper. I like him. I like his vibe. He's just always cool. He has a nice little nice fluctuations in his voice. I'm not talking about his choices. I'm talking about what I know him as. I don't know his personal life. But when he's channeling me or feeding me news, I like his communication. Right? You can be judgmental all you want to. Let us unveil your closet. Probably don't want to do that. But news anchors. And guess what you are? You're a news anchor. that help people stay anchored to the news you're anchored to. You are broadcasting. You are a type of media, a medium, an ambassador to deliver the good news. But whatever you're channeling, you will anchor. You will share. And we understand the propaganda and politics behind certain news stations. I'll end on here. We have this certain hope, like a strong, unbreakable anchor, holding our souls to God Himself. I am and you are anchored to the good news. We should channel peace. We should channel love. We should channel hope. We should channel prosperity. We should channel nothing but the goodness of God. That's where you're supposed to get excited. Our anchor of hope is fastened. He is a anchor of hope who is fastened to the mercy seat, which sits in the heavenly realm beyond the sacred threshold. And where Jesus, our forerunner, has gone in before us. He's went before us. He's went where? Before us. It is in Jesus and only Jesus we will make our way victorious through darkness. It is Jesus and only Jesus we will make our way victorious through darkness. Can I get an amen?
Thanks for joining us. Stay connected with us by following us on social media at LoveQuestINTL Church. And join us next time as we receive another powerful Right Now word brought to us by our man of God, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy the rest of your day, and in the meantime, get your love fixed, man.